There's an old Jewish parable that says one day Abraham invited a beggar into his tent for a meal. When grace was being said before the meal, the man began to curse God, declaring that he could not bear to hear the name of the Lord. Seized with indignation, Abraham threw the man out of his tent and drove the blasphemer away. Later that night, Abraham went to the Lord in prayer, and God said to him, "This man has cursed and reviled me for 50 years, and yet I have given him food to eat every day. Could you not put up with him for a single meal?" God didn't need a defender in that moment. God didn't need Abraham to be some type of spiritual bouncer, kicking out anyone that wasn't 100% on board with God. God needed Abraham to love that man. Needed him to love him by feeding him. To love him despite his anger toward God. To love them despite their words and actions. To love him as God loved him, even when he didn't love God. On this St. Valentine's Day weekend, I want to tell you simply this. Love one another. Really. Love each other. Not with the love that depends on chemistry or mood or feelings. Not with the love that depends on the behavior of others. But love each other with the kind of love that Christ refers to in today's reading from the Sermon on the Mount. You know the kind of love I'm talking about. It's the love that goes beyond what seems right according to the letter of the law and enters into the spirit of what God wants for us. The love that enters into feeding others. The love that enters into healing others, into showing grace to others, into giving peace to others. The love that values others, regardless of who they are or what they have or what they might have done. Someone once caught the comedian W.C. Fields reading a Bible. That was out of character for Mr. Fields, and the person noted it. "What are you doing?" they asked. "Looking for loopholes." It's what the Pharisees and the Sadducees were really good at, finding loopholes. The law as it was written in the Hebrew Bible was large and unwieldy. It was difficult to follow. It made life harder. And so they were always looking for loopholes, looking for ways around, looking for cheats that they could do to make it a little easier on themselves so that they could fulfill the letter of the law without all that burden of actually doing what the law was asking them to do. But when it comes to love, there is no loophole. There is no escape hatch. There is no clause that says the deal can be revoked if this condition or that condition is not met. Love is total. It is unconditional, or it is not love. Think of the words of Jesus that we heard in his Sermon on the Mount this morning, tearing down these loopholes the Pharisees and Sadducees had developed. "You've heard it said, you shall not murder. But I say to you, if you're angry with your brother or sister, you're liable to judgment. You've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery, but I tell you that everyone who looks with lust on another has already committed adultery. You've heard it said, you shall love your neighbors, but I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you." There are no loopholes to be found in Jesus' words. Jesus doesn't give us an out so that we can love one another except for that coworker who irritates us. So that we can love one another except for that neighbor that lives on this side who's a grumpy old curmudgeon. So that we can love one another except for that person who hurt us or embarrassed us or shamed us or left us or betrayed us. Love one another, except when it's hard or difficult or feels impossible. Nope. Just love one another. Really. What Jesus does is crystallize the issues involved in loving God and neighbor so we can know how, without doubt, where we stand. Exactly what we need to aim for. If you haven't killed anyone, that's a good thing. But who have you called a fool? Who have you hated? Who have you refused to let your anger dwindle against? If you haven't committed adultery, good job. Especially on Valentine's Day weekend. Awesome. But consider what you've wanted to do. What have you thought about doing? What secrets have you kept hidden about desires and quivers of the heart? Or consider someone who holds a grudge against you because of something you did. Something which you haven't apologized for yet because you feel vindicated in what you did. It wasn't nice, but they did this, so I did this, and you know what? They got exactly what they deserved. I mean, I had to do what I had to do. What promises or vows have you broken and then justified to yourself in doing so? Well, yes, I went back on what I said, but look at it from my perspective. I had to. When we are honest with ourselves, most of us love only our family and friends. That's the easy part. Well, not so much family, but certainly friends. We love those who love us. It's easy to love friends, people who are nice to you, people who do things for you, people who care about you. We greet those who greet us. We do good to those who do good to us. We lend to those who will pay it back. We welcome those who welcome us. As for everyone else, well, I mean, if asked, we usually have a good reason for what we do or a really good excuse for what we don't do. But what we aim for as disciples of Christ is to break through the limitations of our excuses. We aim to destroy all reasons we might offer to treat one another as less than, as not deserving, as unloved, and to enter into relationships with each other that are based upon our quality before God. We have all sinned. We are all made in God's image. We are all made righteous by the same grace. This week marks the midpoint of winter. Winter officially begins on December 22nd. It ends on March 22nd. Here we find ourselves smack dab in the middle. And how do we celebrate this great celestial occurrence? With heart-shaped boxes of chocolate, a dozen roses, and a fancy meal, all while professing our love. I don't know who put a holiday for lovers in the middle of winter. It had to be someone in a tropical climate. Because in the middle of dreary, cold, frozen, iced over, snow-covered winter, someone said, "This is a good time to reassure my lover that we're still good, that we still love each other. Here's a card, some flowers, and an invitation to brunch. I love you." My wife and I really don't do much for Valentine's Day. The most I did for Valentine's Day this year was I took advantage of Price Chopper was selling 2 10-ounce strips and 2 4-ounce lobster tails for $20 for Thanksgiving. Got 4 of those suckers in my freezer right now. Not for Valentine's Day, because I love steak and lobster is why those are in my freezer, right? We don't really do Valentine's Day at my house. We feel we're fairly assured in our love of each other. There's several opportunities throughout the year for us to profess our love, birthdays, anniversaries, Christmas, those types of things. So we don't really do Valentine's Day. To be honest, when we first started dating many moons ago, our first Valentine's Day together, my wife-to-be had planned a whole thing for Valentine's Day. It was going to be very special. And the night before, we were talking, and I was joking around, and I guessed exactly what it was. And yeah, so we don't do much on Valentine's Day. So just tends to get me in trouble. So it's best if we stray from that. So it's a weird holiday. Right, designed to prop up candy makers and florists and Hallmark during a slow period, but they make it work. Billions of dollars was spent last week. Billions with a B. Thursday night, I had to stop by the grocery store for something, and every checkout line was open, and there were at least two guys in every line with a vase with flowers in it. It was just an assembly line of guys going, holy crap, tomorrow's Valentine's Day. I need to get something, right? I got to tell her I love her or I'm in trouble. Because we crave love. We want love in our lives. The love that says we're not alone. The love that says someone cares. The love that says I care about someone. We desire this feeling to love and be loved. The poets and the philosophers proclaim there is nothing more attainable nor more sought after. Into this week of sweethearts and lovers, we come with this piece of scripture. God is love. Let us love one another because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God, for God is love. Love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we ought to love one another. 24 times in that piece of scripture, in those 14 verses, 24 times the word love is used. 24 times to drive home the idea that God is love. And that if we're going to say that we are with God, then love had better be among us as well. We cannot say we love God and then hate one another. We love because he first loved us. Those who say I love God and hate their brothers and sisters are liars. We cannot say that we love God and then hate one another. Those two things are not compatible. They cannot coexist. It is not possible to proclaim to the world that I am a follower of God, a disciple of Jesus Christ, and then hate someone because God is love. God's own word has told us that if I am with God, then I am with God. Love. Love is my calling card, my reputation, my utmost attainment. God is love. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Since God loves us so much, we ought to love one another. Those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. It really is that simple. Those who love abide in God, and God abides in them. I'm not saying it's easy. It's not. If it was easy, everybody would do it. It's not. I don't always know the right thing to say, the right thing to do. As I seek to be in this world and be a presence of God's love, man, sometimes it is really hard. Not to be angry, not to hate, not to not love someone. Sometimes that is hard. I look through social media and I see people that I know, people that I grew up with, people that I've been friends with for years, people who I thought I understood on a deeper level. And sometimes they will post the most racist, misogynistic, hateful things on social media. And I see it and I'm like, are you out of your mind? Who are you? And I start to type a reply, right? Right? Because I'm angry, so I'm typing harder, right? You got to hit the keys harder. It drives home the point. And I type out a response going, you're an idiot! And then I sit there for a minute. This nagging voice in my ear is saying God is love, and those who love abide in God, and God abides in them. Delete, 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 delete. I don't always know the right answer. We don't. We don't always know the right answer. We don't always know the right words to say. We don't always know the right things to do. I don't have all the solutions. I wish that I did, but I don't. I don't have all the answers. We live in a world where hatred and anger and greed and avarice are real, tangible things, and it makes it hard to love one another. Sometimes I am just as stumped as you are when I try to live my faith, try to live my love in this world, when we struggle against the meanness and hatred and anger that pervades our world now. And you know what? I might never have all the answers. Maybe I'm not supposed to have all the answers or always know the right thing to do. God knows that. God knows that I don't have all the solutions. Maybe, just maybe, what we're supposed to do is be faithful. Maybe what we're supposed to do is love one another, really.